Good evening. I will do my best to try to guide us through the service. And so everything you need for the service should be on the website there. So the audio you have obviously already found if you're listening to this, but I do have on there the readings that we will be having for today and also a copy of the service itself. And so that way you can follow along. For this, our regular midweek service, we will be using the service of prayer and preaching on page 260, which obviously is just all in that PDF file for you. With that being said, anyway, I won't give any more opening announcements for our audio service. And so at this time, we will reflect on hymn number 953, "We All Believe in One True God." This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. Jesus said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." first reading that we have for our service today comes from Acts chapter 10. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6. "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our third and final reading comes from John chapter 18. "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' They answered him, 'If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.' The Jews said to him, 'It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death.' This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world.' Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, 'I find no guilt
in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we continue with the Lenten responsory.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. At this time, we confess together the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Apostle Paul was exhorting Timothy to a life of Christian faithfulness, he told him to fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession, in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Christ Jesus had testified the good confession, openly declaring who he is and what he came to do, so Timothy had made the good confession of Christ. And now he was to keep on fighting the good fight of the faith, which included living and abiding in that good confession of Christ. This is what our Lord desires and expects for all of us to do. Follow Jesus in the good confession. Paul said that Christ Jesus testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. This identifies our Savior's testimony before the Roman governor as an important Christian confession. And what was that confession all about? Well, Jesus himself, of course. Jesus plainly confessed that he is a king. He repeatedly spoke of his kingdom, and when Pilate responded, "So then you are a king," Jesus affirmed it by answering, "You say that I am a king. which was an idiomatic way, a kind of a way in the times of saying, yeah, that's right. What you've just said is correct. I truly am a king. Yet Jesus also made it clear in the words after that, that he is no ordinary king. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. So Jesus isn't a worldly king. He's not a worldly, he doesn't have worldly servants who fight with worldly weapons, or he doesn't even want the things that normal earthly kings want, like power and possession and more land and more influence. No, King Jesus is entirely different. Our Lord even, he continues, he goes, for this I was born and for this I have come into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. King Jesus was indeed born. He is a real man. He has a mother, we all know, as the Virgin Mary. Yet he is also a king who came into the world. So it means that while Jesus does have an earthly beginning because he has this earthly mother, he actually existed even far before his actual birth. He is outside of eternity. He is outside of this world. But what does he choose to do? He chooses to enter the world. In other words, King Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And as such, our King exercises his reign not with the power of the sword. In fact, he already has all the power of God at his fingertips. He doesn't need to use a sword or any kind of earthly weapon. But he uses a different weapon. He uses the power of his voice. Jesus speaks the truth. That is his weapon. And the truth is that today we all are in need of some truth. I'm sure we've all heard conflicting reports and opinions on the current situation in our country. We want to know what's going to happen. How's this situation going to shake out? Is it really as bad as we've all been told? And we start to wonder about ourselves. Will I get the virus? Will someone I love get the virus? Might some member of our church or some member of our family be called to the Lord's nearer presence because of this current outbreak? My friends, there's very little that is certain. There's very little that is within our control in these trying times. And this is exactly why we need Jesus to tell us the truth, to continue to be that testament to it. And what is that truth? Well, in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. When we listen to Jesus, we hear the summary of the truth. And the summary is that he is the Son of God, in whose name his believers have everlasting life. That is Jesus' testimony about himself, and that is the core of the good confession that we are all to make. See, King Jesus, he willingly fights and dies to save his servants. He wrestles with sickness and disease in this life. He endures through false claims, fake news, misrepresentation of the truth, as false witnesses were brought against him in his trial. Our Lord fought against Satan. He fought against death. He fought against disease and hardship and pain. He was lifted up on the cross for the whole world to see it, and that is where he died. He shed his blood and he died so that you might know the great love that God has for you. What's better is that Jesus shows his kingly power over these things. Because we know that 3 days later, he comes back to life. He rises from the dead. Instead of losing to any of our enemies, it means that all of us who believe in Jesus, we have everlasting victory just as he does. Diseases and hardships, they're only and always temporary. And even if we die bodily, our souls will never die. Our Savior will simply take them to the peace and rest of heavenly life. And even that is only for a time. Because Jesus has been raised, he promised that we too will be raised in our bodies from the dead. Jesus promised that he would transform them to an immortal and an imperishable condition, very much like his own body when he raises. That's the victory that Jesus has won for all of us who believe in him. That is the victory of everlasting salvation. So this is the heart and core of our King's witness to the truth. It's the chief article of the good confession, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who gives his believers everlasting life. And now he calls us to follow him in this good confession. God has given us a great opportunity to be his witnesses in this world during a time of trouble. We are given the ability to make the good confession that we're not afraid of coronavirus. We're not afraid of COVID-19 or any such enemy that Satan can throw at us. We're not afraid of disease or death because Christ has already made the good confession concerning our salvation. Now is the time for you to make the good confession, to reassure each other, to reassure each brother or sister in Christ of the Lord's victory, but also to share this message of victory amongst those who might not yet know our Lord and King. I can't imagine being an unbeliever in the midst of this outbreak. I mean, where does an unbeliever look? Where do they go? Where do they turn? The truth is that our world is afraid. Our world is uncertain. Our world is being tossed to and fro like a wave in the sea. And it truly needs Christians at this time to share the love of God. Christians are called to be an anchor in an unmovable rock, to grant clarity to the confusion and truth to what is shrouded in darkness. And we can't do that on our own. We do that because we have received Christ. We do that because we can point to what Jesus has done for us and for the whole world. And so it's time for us Christians to declare that we are unafraid, because Jesus has died and risen, and he has already declared his victory over all our trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are living in fear, for those who are isolated at this time, and for our whole country which is suffering under this current outbreak of the coronavirus, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness towards us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.